This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on Odyssey and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo, edition of the High Hopes Podcast, sponsored by Miller Lite, official sponsor of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller time, Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. A sweep to start a West Coast trip, Frenzy? Is that allowed? I thought that was against the rules of Major League Baseball. What's going on here, buddy?
Phils are hot, Phils are hot, Phils are hot, Phils are hot, Phils are hot!
Phils are a wagon, buddy.
Oh, dude, they're just good.
Get on board,
they're just
dude.
Good.
They just win games.
They have the third best record in baseball, but they're second in their division.
Handle business.
It's a joke.
How about it?
Hey.
This is what an unnatural spot we are in. Best April for the Phillies in 13 years? No big deal.
Can we please delete the first podcast of this season? Because all of it is a whole bunch of moot points, buddy. Team's hot. They're good. They're just a damn good baseball
team.
They're
really good.
I think this podcast could be 5 minutes. You want to know why? They're good.
Yeah, that's it.
It's as simple as that.
Well, they just go out and pitch and hit and play baseball.
Getting the June to September Phillies of the last 2 years in April is one of the weirder things
I've
ever.
It's jarring.
Dude, they're just going to do their jobs.
Again, you talked about on the show on Friday. They're like, what do you think they're gonna do in San Diego? I'm like, probably 1-2, if I'm being honest. They freaking swept.
Yeah, just took care of business. Showed
like,
up.
It was no, like, other than, you know,
one bad
Taiwan, well, you know, other than one bad moment.
He got, I'm just, listen, I'm as anti-Taiwan as everyone. He got a little unlucky. I mean, so the first home run, he struck the guy out, and
he did. Like, that was a BS call. Like, and JT was hot about it.
I know. We don't usually see JT like that. And then yesterday, I mean, Bryce could have made that play.
Yeah.
So, leave Taiwan alone.
Like, yes,
that's always been my position on Taiwan.
Yes,
Walker.
Yes, we've always. Yes, that's right. Yes.
Leave Taiwan alone.
Let Taiwan do his thing.
Hey, let him go. By the way, hold on, real quick. Sorry, but you know how like people get mad about when I do the Schwarber, their record with him in the leadoff spot. Uh-huh. Just saying.
Oh, goodness. What's Taiwan's record when he starts games?
Dude, I think they're 22-10. Dude, they might be the best team in baseball, and Taiwan Walker starts.
1-0. He's 1-0.
Dude, all he does is win, man. It is sickening, his win-loss record.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And look, in this case, and they won the game, but I blame Topper more than Taiwan. Like, look, I know it was only 73, 74 pitches, whatever, but it's his first start back, 6 innings, 3 mm-hmm. runs. Yes, that's like a mm-hmm. nice start, and you have a fresh mm-hmm. bullpen. You just had 2 guys go 8 innings. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm.
Disagree. So 73 pitches, yes. But he's been up to like 110 pitches in the minors. So it's not like he's not ramped up. He should have someone ready. It's as simple as that.
You should have someone ready. Yes. If nothing else, like, fine. If you want to let him start the inning, that's fine. Once there are two runners on base, there's no way you can let him stay in to face Camposano there.
When you got a guy that knows how to win games like Taiwan Walker, sometimes
well,
you got to let him.
He had a 4-run lead, so he could give up a 3-run homer and we'd still be okay.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Exactly right. I will say, the Phillies are sort of, they're so like throwback in a lot of ways. First off, like Thompson, I think is more, it's so funny. He gets crushed. Like the critiques of Thompson.
Dude, he lets pitchers stay in more than any manager I remember in recent years. Well, like, he's the go-to of it.
There's a couple.
And I just ripped him for it.
There's a couple times, even like where like they would allow a run, or like the Nola start on Friday, where it's like he allows a home run, and I think every other manager is like, "We gotta get him out."
Yeah,
and he's like, "Eh, whatever."
He pitched like two more innings.
Yeah, he went eight, dude. I mean, Ranger went eight. Taiwan was pitching into the seventh.
These guys go
long into games, man.
Well, especially early in the season, they talked about they're like, "Oh, you don't want to work these guys too hard early." And look, it's because they've been so economical with their pitches. You know, it's like it's all about the pitch counts going. It doesn't really matter how many innings it is, other than if you know, like the Turnbull thing. If there's a long half inning, you know, maybe you don't want a guy sitting that long and stuff. But in all these spots, it's like, yeah, other than Tong's his first start back, but it's like 74 pitches after 60. Of course he's going to go off. Like, who wouldn't? You know, so it's that they've just been so economical, and they've allowed Tavares to be like, yeah, keep on going, buddy. Let's keep rolling here.
I tell you what, it makes the manager's job easier when guys just go out and do their job.
And when your team just starts hitting a ton of home runs all of a sudden again, which
well,
is nice.
He said they were going to slug.
Yeah.
And
who'd have thunk it?
And they are slugging.
Who'd have thunk it? Who'd have thunk when this team started slow offensively that they weren't going to stay slow offensively all season long? I'm just shocked about that. I'm shocked that Bryce Harper and, you know, Trey Turner, and I'm shocked these guys hit. I mean, who'd have thunk it? Who'd have thunk that they would eventually hit?
By the way, I think it's my favorite analytic. It's not an analytic. It's just a number to steal Howard's line. But because it's my favorite Howardism.
Speaking of slug life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's my favorite Howardism. It's not analytics. It's numbers.
Yes.
It's like, well, kind of same thing. By the way, happy birthday.
King. Oh, yeah, King. How about it?
I believe they are now 7-0 when they hit three or more home runs in a game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is, they're
leading the league in homers all of a sudden.
Are they really?
Yes, they lead the league in home runs
now.
Like that. Like, oh, there we go.
So they have the best pitching staff in baseball. Yep. They have the most home runs in baseball. Mm-hmm. Defense has been pretty solid. Mm-hmm. Bullpen. It's so funny seeing Alvarado's ERA because I swear he hasn't a lot of hits since the
it's
first
just
game.
So many hits, but he's had five ERA still. It's like, does it ever go down? And what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know.
And like the things we complain about now, like what is there to complain about? It's like, like Taiwan and Sir Anthony.
Sir Anthony. Yeah. That's it. Nick. I mean,
Castellanos, hey, man. Listen, big series. Big.
Three walks yesterday.
Dude, he did get three walks. Those are big, too. Right before Stoddard.
He has had three walks. I think it's like a once-a-year thing, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I think he had three walks once last year and three walks once. Or no, not even that. I think it's once every few years. I think it's like he's had like three three-walk games ever.
It was jarring.
It was shocking. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
But good signs.
And look, they were important walks. In both those cases, they led to the Stott two-run homers. Where the first one, you know, then they go down 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
Exact same thing happens. Cassidy hits the walk, Stott hits the homer, bang, 4-3 again, and then they, you know, kind of took it from there. But listen, those are important walks.
Like they told you in Little League, buddy. Walks is good as a hit.
He's definitely the walks as good as a hit kid this year. Don't swing.
Yeah.
Seriously, do not swing. He will walk you, I promise.
So, but here's the big difference, and I don't want to, you know, boil it down to a simplistic form here, but the big difference between yelling that at a little leaguer and Nick Castellanos is that the little leaguer is playing for free and the right fielder is making $100+ million.
Is that different?
So when you are in the dugout yelling at Nick saying, hey, walk's as good as a hit, like that guy's being paid $20-some million a year. Meanwhile, little leaguer's picking dandelions.
That's right.
You know, I wanted to make that clear for everyone listening that there is a difference.
I'm happy you because people probably would not have realized
exactly
that. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know what's funny? It's not even like Rojas, I think, has even gotten past the walk as good as a hit.
Rojas is a way better hitter right now than Nick. Like, if you put it this way, if you had to say, all right, one of you guys has to get a single or a hit, period, to save my life, like, I would pick Johan Rojas over Nick Castellanos today.
I feel like you've been putting your life on the line a lot more this year.
I feel
like
it's such a good way to set the stage.
Really? lay down
it's
the gauntlet.
Serious stakes. I mean, this is baseball.
Jeff. Yes, it's not, a 162. You know, it's important to react.
It's a sport that doesn't matter. This is baseball.
It's important to react harshly.
Yeah.
To every single thing that's happened.
You gotta put your life on the line at least 20, 30 times a season. What are we doing?
Then what's the point?
Yeah.
Are you even doing a baseball podcast at some point? So all that's great. Yeah. Everything's going well with the baseball team. And then there's a guy who, when my little head hits the pillow at night, and, you know, I start drifting off.
Uh-huh.
Start thinking about, how about Alec Bohm?
Uh-huh.
I mean, how?
MVP front runner Alec Bohm.
Still plus 20,000 for MVP, by the way.
He's batting 365.
I know. And you know what's so funny? You know what? Obviously, and this is not our listeners. This is more the casual baseball followers to the team. You know, I tweeted out Friday night that he is, or maybe Saturday, I don't know. And I said that it's pretty crazy that he's developing into prime Rendon in front of our eyes. And people commenting like, why would you compare him to that bum? It's like, do you remember how good Anthony Rendon was? Like, do you remember?
There's a reason he got a $280 million contract.
Anthony Rendon was a monster for like 5 years.
You know what's funny? I am positive that I said on a podcast during that run there at one point or another, if I had to pick someone in baseball to get a hit with my life on the line, I would take Anthony Rendon. Dude, like, that sentence definitely left my mouth at some point on this podcast.
I was such a Rendon guy. Yeah, like, awesome. I always felt like he's just, you know, doubling up all over the place. So, but that's who Alec Bohm always has reminded me of what I thought he could be is, yeah, he's not going to be, I don't think he's ever going to be a 30 to 35 home run guy, even though he's 6'5". But I always thought that Alec Bohm should be a guy that should be over 300 or at least 290 every year and should be close to the league lead in doubles. And it's funny because
so many doubles.
So many doubles, dude. So many doubles. But he does have also prime Castellanos to him. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, that's the player he should be, is a doubles machine. He should be batting over 300 and hit 20 to 25 home runs a year. I mean, that's what he should be. I mean, dude, he is third, I think he's third in the NL in WAR. I mean,
yeah,
the and it's happened fast too.
I mean, it was like he went from like 340 to 365 in a day.
He had 17 hits on a road trip.
Yeah, there you
go. He had 17 hits this road
trip. I mean, that's crazy.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. And again, why I want to erase the early episodes of this podcast is because I said, I don't know if he can be the four hole hitter, because I thought he's more of like a singles hitter. And ever since, there's two things that happened. One, I went hard on that, and that happened. And then Aiden Miller started developing into like this like stud prospect. And Bohm's like, hold on, I should probably start lifting.
Wait a second here, yeah. Wait a second.
And like, I thought early in the season the lineup was missing a bat, like an impact bat. And I thought like Schwarber, Turner, and Harper, it was so top heavy. But now when you add a guy like Bohm doing what Bohm is doing, it just looks like the lineup just looks longer and more impactful, and you're starting to see it so far.
It's been massive. It changed the whole complexion of the lineup, and moving forward, it's just going to be so much more important. I mean, we've talked about it in the playoffs last year, the beginning of the season this year, you know, the whole like Schwarber leadoff thing. It's like, no, cleanup. Like, that is the most important thing this team has to solve. And look, again, you know, it's early and all that, but man, if he can step in and be this guy, obviously maybe not 365 guy, but it changes everything. It changes everything about the complexion of the team and what their ceiling is. And oh, by the way, above average defender. Somehow, like, he is like a vacuum over there. The ball gets hit that way, he's going to make the play practically almost every time. Like, he is, it's so impressive what he has done this year so far. And, you know, you want to, because we've seen him go on. Remember last year, mm-hmm. That wasn't this, but he was driving the ball more. And I think he had like three or four homers in the first, you know, few weeks of the season. We're like, here we go. And then he reverted back. We got to see him stay where he's at now and make this a permanent change.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, Franco used to do this too.
Of course he did.
Where Franco would have this like 8-week stretch where it's like, there it is. And then it would go right back. The difference is, I think Dustin Lind and again, our good friend Alex Coffey.
Yes.
Who.
Not Adam Lind's brother.
Not Adam Lind. Yeah. Not Adam Lind.
That was an important clarification.
Yeah. That's not. You don't get, like, Jim Nance, I understand, but the Adam Lind is the Phillies, like,
yeah,
assistant hitting coach is up there.
It's a real deep cut.
No, it's up there.
Yeah,
it's up there. But
yeah, you're right. It should get more derision than it does.
It does. And I feel like, are we essentially just like a hype machine for Alex Coffee Pieces on this podcast?
Apparently.
Yeah. No, it's good. She's love great it. At this.
Yeah.
But you know, she wrote this whole thing about like Dustin Lind and him. Them kind of getting in the lab together and shortening up his swing. And like I think the biggest thing that happens with a hitter or when you're like 4 or 5 years in is, you know, obviously baseball's an incredibly hard sport. And I feel like there's a lot of players that come up, have early success. They usually get figured out and then it's how they adjust back. And I feel like it takes a couple of years for like some people are freaks, right? Yeah. Like Trout and Acuna and Tatis.
But most people, it takes some years to adjust and readjust and adjust and all that.
And it feels like Bohm is readjusting to what teams were doing to him. So like he was talking about how I can get to every pitch, but like what pitches can I do damage on? Rather than just like, yippee, I didn't strike out.
Mm-hmm.
Now I guess his whole, and it makes sense, like they preach selectively aggressive. And in watching him, it's looking to do damage rather than looking to put the bat on the baseball, which I think is an important distinction. Because if you look to put the bat on the baseball, what impact are you making? You know, like, sure, you're not striking out, and that's good. Like, we're not pro strikeouts.
No, yeah.
But
prefer you not.
Prefer you not strike out. Yeah, cool. All things considered.
Yeah, yeah, you know, give it an option. Yeah.
But it's about what can I look to launch on, and I think that we're in the progression of seeing Bohm get to that point. And I think that's the difference.
It's massive. And look, he is entering his athletic peak. I mean, your late 20s, you know, 27, 28, 29, that's generally when you're thought to have your most physical ability and all that type of stuff. You have the year of 27, you play fantasy. That's a classic thing, the 27-year
break. That's
still a thing. I mean, look, it's always been a thing my whole life playing fantasy. I don't know if it's as prevalent as it used to be, but that's the idea is that, you know, because it takes time, first of all, your athletic peak physically, but then it takes time for guys to adjust to the league and to get to that point where they truly break out. I'm really heartened by it. I'm really like, and I think it is, I don't think he's going to win the MVP. I don't think he's going to bat 360, but I think it's sustainable. I think what he's doing is sustainable. And if it does, it changes everything.
Obviously. Who finishes higher in respective voting? Ranger for Cy Young or Bohm for MVP?
So I think Ranger might win the Cy Young.
Well,
like legitimately, him or Wheeler. Like, I mean, I know we had two, but like I
got Wheeler plus 900.
Like, I think that, and look, I think Wheeler, you know, he's the name and all that. Like, I think Ranger, it's all real. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if we're looking at the end of the year, Ranger, everyone's saying like, oh, he's like top five pitcher in baseball. Like that, I just, again, I believe it fully. So I absolutely think Ranger, I think Ranger might win the Cy Young, like legitimately. Like, I do not think Bohm is winning MVP. I love it. I think he could be an all-star. I think that's certainly possible.
Yeah.
I think Ranger could win the Cy Young. Like, I think this is fully real.
So I agree on both. It's just, yeah, I don't think Bohm's gonna win the MVP. I would be happy if he finishes top 10.
I'd be happy if he got votes. Give him one MVP vote. I'd be like, no way, dude. Well done, bro.
Big year. The Ranger thing is just, and we were at the Green Parrot on Friday, and again, probably the most stress-free High Hopes night of
unbelievable.
All time.
Like, yeah, we need a petition that we only are scheduling High Hopes nights on Ranger nights.
Well, first off, fast game.
It was a 5-1 game, and it was two hours and 9 minutes. I was like, I'm probably not gonna be able to stay for the end of the game. I was like, oh, it's done. All right, time to go home. It was amazing.
Yeah. So he's just, and I'm glad that he surpassed Cliff or tied Cliff with the inning streak, because that's who he reminds me of. Like,
you've been saying it for so long. Like, before Ranger was even good, you were comparing him to Cliff Lee.
He works fast, throws strikes, is competitive in the strike zone.
He's like nonchalant about it, the whole thing.
And what makes Ranger so tough, and because obviously the stuff doesn't like pop, it's not wow, look at that ridiculous the spin on that pitch is. It's just he's so consistent within the strike zone. And he can legitimately throw four or five pitches for strikes at any time that he wants.
That's, and I just saw, I think it was someone on Twitter tweeted out a David Cone quote where David Cone said, the best weapon a pitcher can have is mystery. Yeah. Just not knowing what's coming. And with Ranger, because he throws all those pitches and has such command of them that you never know what's coming.
Well, and the other key is that he has, no, and the most important thing for a left-handed pitcher to really have success at the big league level is you have to be able to pitch inside with your fastball to right-handed hitters. And he has no problem doing it. Like, he'll go up and in 94 and
throw it anywhere.
Anywhere.
I feel like Ranger will put the ball anywhere it's supposed to be. He could just put it there and I'll be like, all right, here you go.
And he has no fear. Like, he just has, he has no fear. And that's the most, again, he, for true, like, old school, because I feel like, you know, I get labeled as not being old school in some ways, you know, with a lot of my opinions on things. But I,
just funny, because you are way more old school than I think people realize. Yes.
But I grew up in a mixture of both.
Yep.
Like, I grew up on, like, Clemens and Pedro into Halliday. Mm-hmm. Like, these guys that pitched. And then it became the era of stuff. And, like, I am beyond pro stuff. Like, if you want to do 15 minutes on George Klassen,
you're
like,
stuff plus. That's how pro you are. Yeah, exactly.
Huge stuff plus guy. But Ranger is such, like, a middle 2000s, just good starter guy that doesn't throw overly hard, but just knows how to pitch. And, like, if you want to, like, teach a young kid what pitching looks like, it's Ranger. And it's honestly, it's a lot of these guys, dude. Like, it's Ranger, it's Nola, it's even Wheeler. It's just like Wheeler, not everyone's blessed with 96 to 99.
But they all got multiple pitches. They all can, like, throw a bunch of stuff in different counts and all that.
Dude, they're must-watch television right now. And it's so funny because usually it's the batters are the must-watch guys. Like, I got to see Bryce hit. I got to see Turner. I got to see Schwarber. Can he hit one 500 feet? But, like, this starting staff, I think it's must-watch TV right now. And it's just so fun to see them try to one-up each other and pitching deep into games. And it's good right now.
It's thrilling. I know you. I mean, for you, there's nothing better. Let's just go out and out-pitch people. What a thrill. The Phillies just going out and out-pitching and developing
guys.
Well,
dude, they might have been – they might
Junior be – Junior Marte, eighth inning, big spot.
Never
no
out.
No problem.
Just easy.
Sure.
The Phillies might – like, maybe the market inefficiency that you're obsessed with.
It's a great phrase. Great thoughts.
We're going to be competitive in the strike zone and throw a bunch of fastballs. Yeah. Like, I think they are 28th in baseball in, like, off-speed percentage, which means they throw the third most fastballs in the sport. And the other pitching staffs, the Yankees and Cubs, who, I mean, are also pretty good developing, you know, when it comes to pitchers. So, it's special right now.
It's special.
Pitching, baby.
It really is. It's unlike any start we've had in a while with just, and again, like, you look at all these other teams and it's like guys go five innings, five and a third, you know, four, this. Like, to watch these guys go out like eight, six, seven, it really is jarring. It does not feel like, to your point about the whole stuff thing on, it doesn't feel like what baseball is anymore.
Mm-mm.
Like, it really does feel throwback watching them every night and watching just dudes freaking eating innings, but, you know, I mean, awesome doing it, but it really feels old school. It's pretty neat.
The Phillies are good innings eaters.
They're good innings eaters.
Eat innings, the bullpen's fully rested. You know, it's good. It's good. But yeah, they are a throwback baseball
team. It's unbelievable.
Besides their leadoff hitter.
Yeah. Their manager, the whole thing, you know? They got a center fielder who's not going to hit any home runs but plays great defense.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Bunch
Let's
of winners.
Oh.
I'm like the basketball team.
Oh, God.
Who I was told over and over again by one friend of ours.
Mm-hmm.
How much winners they are.
You shouldn't have listened. I mean, that was pretty clear.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Poor Elliot.
Just losers. Just a loser franchise. It's a shame.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
You know?
Can't relate.
You know what would never happen in a playoff game? Citizens Bank Park would not be run over by other fans.
I don't think that would happen.
In no world does that happen. The regular season, sure, it's a different thing. But, like, in the playoffs, a 0% chance that would happen.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
You mentioned Saturday night. Shout out to everyone who came on Saturday night. We had the best, maybe the best turnout we've ever had for IHOP's Watch Party up there. So many awesome people, a bunch of WIP listeners, obviously a lot of IHOP's people. By the way, special shout out, our buddy Dave, a longtime IHOP's listener, has come to many events, actually called 5-1. So he had a both hit the homer. He's like, anytime homer, look, I bet it. I was like, oh, look at you. I'm like, what's the final score going to be? He's like, let's go 5-1. And it was 2-0 at that point. So shout out to him. That was an amazing call. But the place was awesome. The owner, Bob, was such a great guy. And just a super fun High Hopes night. I feel like we never go out and they just like handle business and win a game. And they just did it. And if you got to come, we have three more of these. Dates will be coming out. We'll be announcing them. But three more of these watch parties, you got to come. People won Phillies tickets. There was trivia, which was really fun. And also, works out that our Miller Lite account of the week is the Green Parrot. And again, we had such a great time.
Poetic
there.
Justice.
How about that? Today's show is sponsored by Miller Lite and the Green Parrot in Newtown. Check out the Green Parrot for every Phillies game and enjoy $3.50 Miller Lite pints and their loaded fries with melted cheese and bacon and ranch. Miller Lite's for Phil's win. Celebrate responsibly. Cannot recommend the Green Parrot enough. It was a great time. We had an awesome, awesome time. All right. Let's stick with the pitchers and then we'll get to the bats. What else stood out to you? Nola's start over the weekend, just in general from the pitching staff.
Yeah, so Nola's good. It was vintage. You know, Friday, always a longer day.
Classic, right?
But I fell asleep on like the fifth when they were up 7-1. Woke up in the eighth, watched the, like it was good.
How nice is that though, right? It's like they're still ahead. Yeah, exactly. Before it'd be like, it fell asleep, like, oh, the bullpen gave up 6 runs while I was sleeping. Great.
And they're all lit. They started launching. Yeah. Once I saw like everyone go deep in the first couple innings, I was like, they got it. So Nola's good. And going back and rewatching, he's just, I guess he's just like everyone else in the staff, just consistently good. You know, I mean, I think his command looks much better this year of his fastball. It did remind me though, watching him. Do you remember when he threw the no hitter and then they lost the game?
Oh yeah, in San Diego. Of course I do. Yeah.
It's like, that was the only thing I thought of like while watching him was, man, I've seen this before.
Yeah.
I was waiting for the game time on the 9th.
Yeah.
They pushed him. So Nola's good. And Hoffman was disgusting on Saturday.
He is nasty, dude.
Yeah. Dude, it's like it's a blessing. It's the blessing and the curse of how deep these guys are going. Is I think a lot of the bullpen guys are out of rhythm.
Yeah, they're not getting work.
I know.
Like Hoffman, that was my whole thing with Taiwan. It's like at this point, like you've got everybody. You said guys go back-to-back games of 8 innings. Like, why not just get him out of here with 6 innings, 3 runs, a really nice start. You feel good about it. I know he's up in the minors, but it's not like he's pitching a big league game yet this year. You've got dudes who need to throw.
Yeah. Well, it was a good thing Alvarado was just fine. Hoffman, fine. Marte looked
awesome. And that was a big spot, too. You have a chance to sweep. You're up 7-1, like, or 7-3, whatever it was, to lose that game. Like, that would have really sucked. Like, that would have been a real bummer on what should have been a real positive series. And Marte held it down there when he needed it.
Yeah. Also, I was surprised he went to him. I really was. And I guess it shows how confident he is in Junior, which is, I feel like he's always been more of a believer in Marte than...
Yeah, he was running him out last year when it wasn't working.
Like way too long.
I know.
Way too long.
I think we were like, all right, guy, like, listen, top.
I like the stuff, too. Yeah. And I still, I hate his slider. I just hate it. I can't watch it. I think that's the reason why I can't get, like, super high. But I was really surprised he didn't go to Kirkring in that spot. I mean, Kirkring hadn't pitched since Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, obviously they have this, they don't have, like, an off day until this Thursday. So... But for a close game, I think Kirkering has pitched well enough to be in that spot. But I guess he trusts Marte. The Rob Thompson, man, I just wonder, it seems like we're seeing a lot of the same things as last year, which is like the really big trust in guys. Like even the Taiwan thing, it's like, well, he's a big leaguer, you know, it's what has hurt them in the postseason in the last 2 years.
Literally, it has been their Achilles heel.
And like the regular season's fine. He has moved the lineup around and gotten guys in there and stuff.
And move Marsh up and then Boehm now and all that. But still, I'm with you. I feel like.
And Sir Anthony, I think he's gone to a couple times. Now, 9-3 on Sunday or on Friday is fine. That's a pretty low leverage spot.
That's the spot to put him in, yeah.
But and even the sixth inning the other night, it was still a pretty big lead. So I guess it's not
it was like 5-0.
A super high leverage spot. It's just. It feels like he's always and I do like the idea of trusting guys, and I think it does reward him. I think people like playing for him because he trusts guys. It just always feels like it's two outings too late, and at some point, yeah, they have to. It's a tough balance, I think, the Thompson thing, because on one hand you don't want to sink a guy's confidence, but on the other hand you got to win ball games.
Yeah.
but it's also April.
Yeah.
So I get it, but it's just there's still a good amount of loyalty, it looks like, from Rob Thompson.
Well, and it's also one of those things that's hard to criticize in the sense that we, you know, we've talked about this a lot, but I think we both agree that the best thing about Topper as a manager is his culture, the way the guys love him, the way they care about him, the way they believe in him, all that type of stuff. And that goes hand in hand with this trust thing. Like, so it's one of those things where, you know, at the end of the day, when the games matter most, you have to pick the right freaking guy who's going to be able to get a hit, make the outs, whatever. But to get through 162 and to have the kind of camaraderie and chemistry that Topper has fostered so far, like, you know, maybe a big part of that is that these guys love them because they trust them and stuff. So it's a real balancing act that we don't have all the information for either.
You know? I know. Yeah. And I hope he gets rewarded for it because I think it's a good strategy. It's just, this is what I think, this is when people start questioning him, is with the loyalty to guys. It's like, it's the Kimbrel thing.
Yeah, it's the Kimbrel thing. I mean, it's exactly what it
is. It's Kimbrel. It's Kirkring.
The Kimbrel thing. Yeah.
It was interesting how quickly he developed a lot of trust in Kirkring last year.
I know. Like, it was all of a sudden, he's like, all right.
Bang, so he's a high leverage guy.
He's at her again. Okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So I think it's good. It's just, that's, I think, where people get frustrated with Thompson. But ultimately, either gonna, it's almost like, what do you want, right? Like Gabe was pulling Kingery in the third inning for a platoon advantage or whatever.
Yeah.
So I like the strategy.
I definitely prefer this more than that.
I agree, yeah. Especially over 162. Like, that stuff matters. I just, when it gets to the big games, and I think that by that point he'll have a better feel for it. I wonder if the postseason, if we'll have a more quick trigger in getting guys in and out.
Well, it'll also be, look, it also could hopefully just set up in a way by the time you get to the postseason that the roles are very defined and that, like, Jose Alvarado is not tired at the end of the season like Kimbrel was and all that type of stuff where it's Thompson can go to his guys, but his guys perform. I mean, that's the best case scenario. We'll see. We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see. All right, let's talk about the bats. Obviously, we've talked about Boehm, and he was absolutely the story of the weekend and really the last week plus. We'll probably get player of the week this week, which would be
so many players of the
back
week.
Back to back, yeah. Ranger, player of the month. I mean, theoretically.
Player too. Of the century.
Yeah, probably the best player I've ever seen. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Anything else? Look, Stott was nice to see Stott get going yesterday. Yeah. Finally, some big hits there. And again, you know, a nice, as far as it goes, a nice weekend for Casty comparatively.
three walks and a homer,
and
baby.
A homer, man. I mean, that was like the best weekend he's had all year. Yeah,
and a blooper on Saturday.
You know, Schwarber's being Schwarber. You know, he'll have these huge stretches where he stinks, and then he'll have a big game, and he's on pace for like 240 strikeouts.
So, yeah, it's weird with Schwarber because it doesn't...
feel like it. Dude, I'm so with you.
It feels like he's had a good start to the year.
I feel the exact same way. And people are like, have you looked at his numbers? I'm like, they're fine, right? And then I'm like, oh, they're not good.
Still 200.
Yeah. So how's he only have a 300 base percentage? It doesn't make sense. Like, yeah. I know.
Well, he's not walking as much as he. I think the walks and the homers usually come around the same time. But I do feel like he's getting more hits. Like, Saturday was bad. He struck out four times. But, I mean, he's on base, what, three times on Friday? Mm-hmm. Three times. He got two hits yesterday. It just hasn't. I'm surprised his batting average is 200. I'll just say that.
I'm right there with you.
I'm surprised.
I feel the same way. I really do.
So, yeah, the lineup feels like it's kind of settling in. Getting Stott going is massive. You need to get him going for the bottom half.
Huge.
And it was good to see, like Marsh had a couple slow games. You know, obviously got off to the ridiculous start and then kind of tapered off a little bit. Good to see him just bounce right back and have a big home run. And just
tank shot.
Just consistently hitting the ball hard, which is good. Turner, like, it just... The nice part where the lineup is like, okay, Harper goes 0-for-4 yesterday, and someone else picks him up, or one of the big three will go like Schwarber, he'll go 0-for-4 on Saturday. Someone else is there to pick him up,
which was the whole point, right? That's the way it's supposed to work,
right? But where I felt like at the beginning of the season, and they started winning games, but they're kind of even Steven before getting on this run, was that it just seemed like the if those three weren't hitting, they were in the toilet offensively. And enough people. JT had two home runs out in San Diego, which is good. Need to get him, you know, back going from that department. But they're getting enough production from the others, and obviously Boehm turning into, again, Prime Rendon in front of our eyes has helped.
Has helped.
But yeah, it's good.
Yeah, no, I feel good. I
mean, what a podcast!
Even with Merrifield starting to hit a little bit, like, you know, it's just like, yeah.
What a podcast! This is great.
It's good. Everything is really good.
Dynamite
driving, Monty. You said it before, but I really do feel that way. Like, it does. It feels weird. Like, this, having this conversation right now at the end of April, like, it's April 29th, and just talking about like a team that's just been awesome. Like, that's exactly we all that we asked for. The hot start. Get, take advantage of that April schedule. Like, they did it all. Like, they did it. We're there. Like, we're, April's almost over. They did it.
They have an 18-win month.
Yes.
With 2 days left.
With two games left.
20.
They already, that set the record for April wins for them. They got two games left.
It could be a 20.
Yeah. It's
now better not work in reverse this year. Where?
Yeah. Don't get bad later. Yeah.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
No.
Hot start that needs to sustain.
Sustain, which you're going to have to because unfortunately the Braves never lose.
Not
19
allowed.
And 7. I mean, what the hell?
I know.
It's so annoying.
They are relentlessly annoying.
They're relentlessly annoying. They really are. It's like, and they keep winning these games like extra innings.
I know.
It's like enough already, guys. Like, enough.
Strider's done. Albies has been out. Who cares?
Albies back already. How'd that happen?
Oh, nice. Nice. Good.
I didn't even know. It's like he's supposed to be at a month. He's back. What? Anyway.
That's fast.
Right? I couldn't believe it. Anyway, I'm with you.
Okay.
Super annoying.
Good.
All right. What else? We got anything else? I don't think I have anything else.
Do we have
it's
anything
great.
Else? Everything's great.
Everything's good. Take back? You got some take
sure.
back?
Sure. Yeah. Everything else I've kind of talked about
something
so
on
far.
On the take back?
Everything else.
How about the White Sox winning three straight? My take ball.
Wow. You want to get it
doubled
out?
Doubled their win total with the sweep this weekend.
You want to take it out of the take ball?
No, I'm going to leave it there. I feel good.
So I gave the speech on Friday.
Oh, yeah. That, my bad. I should have rounded back to that. Yes.
So it went well. It was funny because in the... So Tommy and his buddy officiated the wedding. He's also a huge Philly sports fan.
Nice.
And there was just so many references throughout the ceremony of, and you'll be him when the Phillies lose.
That's great.
And stuff like that. I could just envision the old school, like, church people being like, this isn't.
Yeah. Like, what is happening?
What does this have to do with anything? Yeah. So there's a lot of Phillies references in that. And I just thought it was so beautiful. During my speech, I landed the line about the three things.
It worked.
That Tommy can't handle. And the last one was Nick Castellanos.
Nice.
And you know, you ever like, you can just look at the crowd, right? And you can just feel that they're into you.
Oh, of course.
So sure. I said the first two, and then I gave the old pregnant pause. And I was like, and Nick Castellanos. And he's like, nail it. I felt good.
It's a good feeling.
I kind of felt like a stand-up comedian. Yeah. I'm not going
to
lie.
And like, honestly, not even just like getting someone to laugh at something you say is like one of the great thrills in life. Yeah. So, yeah, that's awesome.
So it went well.
I knew you'd do great.
It went well. So I ripped Castellanos during it. And then Castellanos hit a home run later. And it was beautiful.
Are we going to say that's the reason he home run? Well,
it's how can you not be romantic about baseball?
That's right.
It always comes back around. And I think we're the first ones out. Had to get back for a walk. Mm-hmm. Got home right on time to watch the
game. It's very adult of you. That's good work.
To watch the game.
The old man has to leave.
Bill started 9:40. Congratulations on the wedding, but
your best man's out.
Out. Don't we got a ball game. We got Knowles in the mound at 9:40.
That's good work, buddy.
Yeah, no, it's total bet moves all over the place. I figured it out. Yeah. Like, I know how to get, out of places.
I would have been at the wedding till 2 in the morning, tearing up the dance floor.
I wonder if I'm ever going to stay up till 1 a.m.
It's not as fun as you'd think.
No, it's not. Yeah. Go to bed.
Yeah. The people who forced me to do shots at our event, I'm not happy with you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that much.
Never again.
I felt it. I still, right now, Monday at whatever it is, I'm feeling it still. So
I can tell. Yeah. I can tell. And the only thing I had in my take bag is, you know, like, it's so rare that a trade just works out for both sides. But the Marsh for Ohapi trade.
Yeah, it's a great trade.
It's just,
Ohapi's been really good for them.
Ohapi's been good. The Angels stink. Trouty. We got to see Trouty.
Oh, buddy.
Come on.
Ask out Trout.
Ah, Castellanos, hope you enjoy Anaheim.
Can we just swap them like a Lenny Dykstra, Juan Samuel move?
I could use Castellanos having like a nuclear series.
Like, just think about what this team is right now. 19-10, kicking ass, you know, bone breakout, like all this type of stuff. That's the best pitching staff in baseball thing. Imagine if they just subbed out Trout and Castellanos. Like that one thing, just put Trout in and Castellanos out. It's like, wow. Okay, so best team in baseball winning the World Series.
Could be.
Cool. Yeah, yeah.
Could be.
That's a good argument for it. I'm just saying.
The Dodgers aren't hot.
They're not. They are not. Yeah.
Too much talent. There's only one ball.
Damn, Braves already stink at the playoffs, and they won't have Strider in the playoffs, where it'll matter even more. So just saying.
Well, the last time they lost one of their best players, they won. So just letting you know.
I'm not going to mention that.
Yeah, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
No.
It is so funny. We've beaten the Braves in the playoffs the last 2 years. I still view them as like the boogeyman.
Of course. They've my entire life they've won the division. Yeah. Like, yes, the Braves, I hate the
Braves. I just never get too cocky with the Braves.
I never think that we're going to beat the Braves until we beat the Braves every time. Exactly. It's like, until we do it. No. And then we do it. And I'm like, ha-ha, I knew we were going to do
it. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
Never doubt.
Attaboy Harper. Yeah.
Attaboy Harper. Nicely done.
But I do have Braves fear. Yeah. I don't really have Dodgers fear.
I don't either. They don't, cause, you know, it feels hollow, the Dodgers thing.
Yeah, there's only one ball.
That's right. Ohtani just crushing it.
Yeah. I know. Mookie's got batting 384, yeah. I believe.
Well, Freeman hasn't even been hitting, and they're just like, you know.
Yeah, well, you know. It'll be fine. I think Will Smith's batting 364.
Yeah, I think they have the top, like, three guys in average. Or yeah, well. Good for, but not anymore. Maybe Alec Bohm's up there.
Do they have Ranger Suarez?
That's right. You're damn right.
They do not have Ranger Suarez.
You know what wins in the playoffs, Jack?
Pitching?
That's right.
Pitching and defense. That's how you win championships.
The things. We got those things.
Say what?
How about the Phillies? Pitching and defense. Let's go.
What we do.
It's what we always did.
Our preseason takes? Not looking too bad.
No, they've turned a corner. They started real bad.
Yeah.
Looking all right.
Not too bad.
Not too bad. Yeah. Maybe a couple of them we could have back.
Sure. You're not going to bat 1,000.
No.
But I think we're doing all right.
Yeah, I think we'd be
awesome. Also, I appreciate there was a great listener at the event on Saturday. Held me accountable for DL Hall.
Oh, yeah. That was great. Because then I was able to jump in and be like, yeah, me too.
And me three. Yeah, I had him in all my leagues.
Which is funny because... Let me tell everyone out there, and not to, blow smoke up Jack's,
sure.
You know what, his list of Fritz guys was awesome.
Well,
my whole pitching staff in my one league is Fritz guys, and it's awesome. Like, my staff is awesome. So
I think I'm nine.
DL Hall was like the miss.
Yeah, it was a huge thing.
It's so funny that of all your, like, you could have said any other name on your list, and everyone would be like, great job, Jack.
I could have said Reese Olson.
Among many others, like, again, my whole pitching staff is for, like, Bailey Ober, bad first game, great since then. Mm-hmm. Like, literally everyone on my staff, hold on, let me get to Lodolo, love that guy. Bryce Miller has been great.
Oh, those are three of my babies.
I know. Anyway, those are the guys. I got other guys. Hunter Green, been great. He wasn't really a Fritz guy.
He wasn't really a Fritz guy.
You were just in on the speed. But either way.
Yeah, yeah. He's got good stuff.
Lots of Fritz guys.
I'm a stuff guy, except when it comes to the Phillies. Then I just want command.
That's right. Just get out, buddy.
Yeah.
There you go.
Be efficient. All right. Well, listen, we got some late night games. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
Thursday?
Yeah, they're off on Thursday. We'll be back on Thursday.
Okay.
Unless if they get swept by or ugly 2 of 3 loss to the Angels, we might not be back on Thursday. But
not this team.
We're going to be back on Thursday.
Hold on. I was trying to remember this today. Was it Drew Anderson that struck out Mike Trout? Or is that Jonathan Pettibone? This is like the deep cut of deep cut.
Yeah, this is like, I feel like it's Pettibone.
I think Pettibone yeah. struck out Mike
I think
Trout
it's Pettibone.
Once.
Yeah.
And that means something. Yeah, although, I think Drew Anderson made his debut in LA.
Might have.
And I said, hey, that's a heavy fastball.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he did not survive. he was not very good.
You know,
speaking of Carpenter, do you remember the old Braves reliever Carpenter, David Carpenter?
Yeah, I remember David Carpenter.
He used to set up Kimbrel, but he was good for like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He was my favorite pitcher in baseball.
You're so weird.
I love David Carpenter.
I wish we could,
Bard, dude. I used to love
list.
Peak Daniel Bard.
Daniel Bard, yeah.
Peak Daniel Bard. Like
Red Sox Daniel Bard.
Red Sox Daniel Bard. The one that now is fine. But there was like some pitchers who like it was like voodoo watching them, and now like everyone is like them.
Blake Treinen for a while.
Treinen was sick. Yeah. But like Joel Zamaya.
Yeah. Oh, Joel Zamaya was nasty.
Joel Zamaya.
For like 1 year. That dude was like sick.
Dude, he was.
It's like 104 and a hook.
Yeah. Joel Zamaya was sick. Daniel Bard was sick. David Carpenter was sick. Mm-hmm. Like there's just like. And now everyone is just those guys.
I wish we had a list of all throughout the years, like the Pivetta, obviously, but like the list of guys that you over the years have said something absurd about, like, you know, next Curt Schilling or
sure.
next whatever. Like,
but Pivetta's still number one.
Oh, it is, but it'd be a really funny list to go back to.
Well, I'm just letting everyone know now. I mean, Louis Varland's next.
Louis Varland to the list, buddy.
He's
there. We go
in AAA right now, but he'll be back. He'll be back. Phil should trade for him.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
You'd win a Cy Young here.
More pitching. Let's do it. That's what we do. We're a pitching factory.
Yeah, finally.
Finally. So you all you ever wanted, buddy. What a magical moment.
Yeah.
All right, we done?
Yeah.
All right.
There's no more David Carpenter or Jonathan Pettibone references.
Handle the freaking Angels, okay?
Yeah.
Seriously. All right. We'll be back on Thursday. He's first and final.